Ariel Helwani's MMA show is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday to you. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani. Thank you very much for checking out the show once again. We got a good lineup for you. Bit of a Monday feel, if you know what I mean. We'll be joined by Tony Ferguson, Michelle Watterson, Jeremy Stevens, each of whom will be fighting this Saturday at UFC 249. Yes, I said it. 249. UFC this Saturday. Jacksonville, Florida. You might say these three individuals are all in. Yes. See what I did there? Just like Dana White and Halle Berry, the inimitable Halle Berry. They are going all in for the All In Challenge. Let me tell you about what they're offering. You can enter their ultimate UFC experience sweepstakes for an all expenses paid trip to Las Vegas in the near future to go to a pay-per-view event of your choice. Once you are there, you will get to have dinner with Halle Berry. You will get to sit next to her on fight night. You will also get to meet Dana White and UFC athletes and get a private training session with UFC legends. You've never experienced anything like this before. Let me tell you, best of all, 100% of the money raised helps provide food to those in need. If you want to enter or learn more, visit allinchallenge.com. Again, that's allinchallenge.com. Now, I'm very excited about UFC 249. I'm very excited about this All-In Challenge. No one's asked me to be a part of it yet, which is a little bit strange. But I'm also really excited about The Last Dance. We've been talking about it for the last couple weeks with Daniel Cormier on DC and Helwani. As you probably know by now, it's ESPN's 10-part documentary series on Michael Jordan and the 90s Bulls. Anyway, it continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, and right after it airs, my guys, Jalen and Jacoby, talk with my pal, director Jason Hare, about the docuseries. It's called Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show, and you can listen to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And one final note, TST is making me say this. I know this is a very long intro. There will be some, how you say, not very suitable language for all audiences, so listener discretion is advised. Enjoy. Back in your life on this Wednesday, May 6, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. As always, we are presented by our good friends over at Modelo. Modelo Espacial. Root for those with a fighting spirit. You know, it's funny. I got a voice note from my good friend Action Bronson yesterday. And you don't get voice notes often from Action. You sometimes get texts, but not voice notes. Anytime his name pops up, though, I get very excited. And he told me that it's actually Espacial. And so I said, you know, listen, Action, I respect you, my man, but I don't know. DC said Espacial, so I'm not sure. Anyway, we love Modelo, and we will be partaking in some Modelo later on this Saturday because it is the return of UFC 249. Yes, 249 is back. What do I mean by it's back? Well, it was supposed to happen on April 18th, and then it got canceled. But now it's back, and it's happening UFC 249, May 9th, Jacksonville, Florida. It is happening. And it's Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson. Yes, there's an actual UFC event happening in a few days' time. Tony Ferguson, you know about him. He is the interim champion of the UFC. In my opinion, he's still the interim champ because he got stripped after tripping over a cord. It wasn't his fault. And so I kind of feel like he's defending his belt. He would say that he's defending the actual title at this point. Whatever, that's all semantics. But it's a great fight. And if I could pick two guys to headline a card like this while the world is watching right now, and there's not a lot of other stuff going on, it's these two guys. It's Tony Ferguson and it's Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje, the former World Series of Fighting lightweight champion. He's nicknamed the Highlight. He's never been in a boring fight. Six UFC fights, seven fight night bonuses. The guy always delivers. And what's great about him is that not that long ago, we were talking about, hey, has Justin Gaethje hit a ceiling? Do we know who Justin Gaethje is? Have we figured him out at this point? He lost two in a row. You know, he was undefeated, 18-0, wins his debut in the UFC against Michael Johnson, but then comes back and loses to Eddie Alvarez via knockout in the third round, and then follows that up with a knockout loss to Dustin Poirier. And at that point, the narrative was, I remember it very clearly, he's too reckless. He gets hit too much. He doesn't defend himself. He just throws caution to the wind. And we were wondering how he would rebound from his first two losses. also his first losing streak, comes back in August of 2018 and knocks out the streaking James Vick in a minute 27. It was a calm performance. It was a measured Justin Gaethje, a collected Justin Gaethje, didn't take any damage in that fight. All right, maybe this is a different kind of guy. Follows that up with a knockout in 2 minutes and 30 seconds against Edson Barbosa. Again, didn't take a lot of damage, was calm, was measured, looked great. Follows that up with a TKO win over Donald Cerrone. First round, 4-18. Same kind of performance. And so all of a sudden, we don't know who Justin Gaethje is, or maybe we do know, and it's a totally different guy than we thought he was. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does against Tony Ferguson. Will it be a brawl? Will he be a lot more measured? Also, he's getting more time now to prepare for this fight. You know, last time when it was supposed to happen April 18th, you know, he was taken out on short notice. Now he's pretty much gotten a full training camp. And of course, Tony Ferguson made weight for that fight or that date, didn't actually fight. And he's had to prepare for a fight since December when he was supposed to fight Khabib. That's when they initially announced that fight against Khabib. And he's been kind of ready to go for the last few months. So I'm curious to see if he's overtrained. He appears to be in great spirits. So it's all the makings of a great fight. And the co-main event to me is almost even more intriguing because you have Dominic Cruz coming back after an almost 4-year hiatus going up against Henry Cejudo, 2008 Olympic gold medalist. I mean, what more can you ask for? Top to bottom, every fight on this card has a good storyline attached to it. Top to bottom, every fight on this card is intriguing. And by the way, before we get into things, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, I'll be live on ESPN Radio breaking it down, previewing it all for you. And then 5 to 6 will be Chael Sonnen and I on YouTube. And then 6 o'clock, the fights start. Basically from 6 to 1 a.m., you're good to go. So check that out on Saturday. For now, though, later on in the program, we'll hear from Jeremy Stevens, who has a big fight against Calvin Kattar. On the main card, we'll hear from Michelle Watterson, who's looking to rebound from a tough loss to Joanna Jacek against former champion Carla Esparza. But first, let us start with the man of the hour, the man who has been carrying the UFC for the past month or so, certainly the news cycle, the one and only Tony Ferguson. El Kukui, we caught up with him in Jacksonville moments ago.
What's good, Ariel?
Tony, how are you, my man?
I knew that was going to be one of your questions. Right off the bat, I was like, he's going to ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing fucking fantastic. How are you doing, man? I'm ready for UFC 249.
I appreciate that. And by the way, I just feel like it's rude not to ask someone how they're doing when they're taking time out of their day. You know what I mean?
Oh, heck no, man. Just get to the point and be like, yo, motherfucker, how you feeling, dude?
Okay. Well,
I'm feeling great, dude. Weight's on point. Attitude is there. Just last night, my agents, they brought their baseball gloves. We went outside and we played some catch at night. It was a night game. I couldn't feel any better right now. I got my team, which this camp has been absolutely like probably the longest camp I've ever had, but probably the most tedious, and making sure that I'm putting in my hours in the day, bro.
At any point throughout the camp, did you say to yourself, man, I'm feeling so good. This is great. You know, here I am getting ready for 18th. I could do that. I could do the 9th. When's the last time you felt like this before?
Oh, man, I don't think I've ever felt like this before. I took full control of my strength conditioning and just took full control of everything. And even when people weren't there, I had to trust that they had to trust that I was going to get my work in. And, I mean, the results show for itself. One of the biggest compliments I had was when I took my shirt off when I first got here. It was completely different. I feel younger, man. I'm going to be real. I still haven't peaked. I still haven't had a completely structured strength conditioning or a real structured camp, but this one was probably one of the best ones that we had. As soon as we found out that we were going to fight Khabib, in September, October, we were right after it in November, December, January, February, March, April. We were ready for the 18th. Obviously, things didn't go out the way, but I kept my word. I wanted to make weight, and here we are, May 9th, coming up on this weekend, so we're ready, man. I can't bullshit that.
Yesterday, I saw the video you posted of you getting the swab up the nose. What did that feel like?
It was funky. It was crazy. Minty. I made my ear twitch a little bit, and you should have seen one of my other trainers, and it was actually kind of funny. We got a video of him, but it was pretty funny, and we had a good time doing it, man. But we're glad that they're taking the necessary precautions to make sure that they're doing everything right. I believe, honestly, the UFC probably has some of the best programs to make sure that athletes are testing really good with USADA, and especially with the COVID-19 test, they're taking the extreme precautions to make sure that this shit can be run the right way.
I know you're there with your family. I saw the photo on your Instagram. Did they have to get tested too?
They're going through their thing, man. And I had to get tested. I'm not sure what they have going on for them. Everything's pretty confidential right now. So, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Did you know that yesterday, I don't know, you're very busy, but did you know that yesterday was the 8-year anniversary of your last loss to Michael Johnson? You've won 12 in a row since. Did you know that?
No, but you're a stalker. You're the one that's telling me.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Do you remember that fight? Like, do you even remember the feeling of losing at this point since it's been so long?
I remember the feeling of breaking my arm. It felt like a cold stinger in football, but I had the opportunity to think about it in between the rounds, and the guy put my coach Haas used to put the ice bag on my arm or my leg or my back, and I immediately moved it to my arm. I already knew it was fucking broke. But that was the difference between me and everybody else. I thrived in moments like that where I would finish the rounds and I would make sure that my mental toughness was there. And here I am in the corner looking over at Michael Johnson, making sure that he knows that I'm still fucking there. And that fight sticks in my mind, but only when I'm training. So that if it does happen again, I have the mental toughness to be able to battle through fucking anything.
I'm sure you think that if you didn't break your arm in that fight, you would have easily won, right?
Nah, man. It was meant for me to lose that fight. Because then I'm on a 12-fight win streak. You can only get those win streaks off of consolation rounds. And here we are, man. We battled back, and it's round robin. And here we go, man. We have Justin Gaethje at UFC 249 this weekend. Only on pay-per-view.
That's right. When you hear Gaethje say that he hopes that you break his nose so that he can fix it finally, what do you think of that?
He just doesn't want me to hit him in the body.
Ah. So he's almost trying to trick you.
I guess, you know what I mean? You could try to throw some curveballs, but we're sitting in that batter's box, and we're staying in the key. We're right there, and we're ready to make base hits, man. And if it hits right, we're going to hit a home run. I'm batting cleanup, buddy.
I have said, Tony, that I want to be banned from all the shows on ESPN if this fight doesn't live up to the hype. I put my reputation on the line, Tony. I've said to all the shows, SportsCenter, all the shows, do not invite me on your show ever again if this fight is not entertaining. I have put everything that I have built on the line based on this fight. What do you make of that? Am I crazy or am I smart?
I mean, you know, that's up to you, man. You can put everything on the line, but I'm not a betting man. I do that shit inside the cage, man. I'm going to be real for fans and everything else. I'm not going to tell everybody to go and bet and everything else like that. Save your money. Make sure you're doing your shit. Wash your hands. Buy the things you really need to buy. But you know what? Everybody needs to buy this UFC event and make sure that we keep sports alive. That's why we're doing this shit. And that's why I made weight the other day. I mean, you can put your reputation on the line, Ariel. But like I said, man, you've been doing this game for a long time. And you know what you're doing, man.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's the faith I have in you. And finally, Tony, are you thinking, like, would you, you know, with all the attention on the UFC right now and all the attention that this card is getting and that you're getting, is there a part of you that feels like if all goes well on Saturday, you'd like to make a quick turnaround?
You know, that's up to me and my team. I got this whole entire camp has been a big about team building. When I started from scratch, when I moved to Orange County, and I told myself that I was gonna build my team, I told my wife that she was going to be closer to her family, that I can build my team and I can build whatever I need to do to get shit done. And here we are 12 fights later. I got probably one of the best teams in the fucking world. I got a great boxing coach, great Muay Thai coaches. I got great jiu-jitsu trainers and coaches. And my agents are fucking top notch. My nutritionists and faith, family, friends, dude. Ain't nothing going to separate us. We're here to do one fucking job and let's get that W this weekend.
I love it. By the way, can I ask you one last favorite baseball player of all time? Who is it?
Favorite baseball player of all time. I'll be real, man. From the past to the present, there's a bunch of them, dude. You got like Mark McGwire, Bobby Bonilla. You got, you know, Jose Canseco. You got a lot of some of the old school greats. You got Tucker Barnhart, who's one of the homies that he just came through, and I had a nice conversation with him not too long ago. I mean, my agents used to play, and I'm gonna be real. If you're a fan of baseball and you're a baseball player, you're not gonna be a fan of too many fucking athletes. You're gonna be playing right there next to them.
I love it. Tony, good luck to you, my man. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Make sure you guys follow me on my way to victory at Tony Ferguson XT on IG and that Twitter thingy. Got you, Ariel.
All right. Short and sweet from Tony Ferguson. In no mood to speak. He's talked enough. He's getting ready. I like talking to him about baseball. He's got this interesting infatuation with the grand old game, so I enjoy that. But anyway, he's ready to go. I appreciate his time. And in a matter of moments, we'll talk to Michelle Waterson for a little longer than that. She's getting ready for her big fight against Carla Esparza. But before we get to Michelle, let me tell you about my good friends over at Modelo Espacial. Love these guys. I love people who support me, so I want you to support them as well, all right? See, Modelo is the official beer of the UFC, who partners with the great Amanda Nunes, who, by the way, I reported earlier this week, will be fighting at UFC 250 against Felicia Spencer, June 6th, in parts unknown, probably Las Vegas, but we don't know yet. Anyway, she's a warrior. She never gives up. You might even say she has the fighting spirit. The fighting spirit means never giving up, even when the odds are against you. Great fighters like Amanda Nunes are like great beers. It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters what you're made of. Modelo has been the gold standard since 1925. Modelo is a crisp Pilsner-style lager that set the standard for authentic Mexican beer by using premium hops to give the golden lager its crisp taste. So, when you're watching UFC 249 on ESPN Plus this weekend, make sure you have a crisp Modelo Especial within reach. Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. I love Modelo. Please support them. Anyway, now time for my conversation with the great Karate Hottie, the former Invicta FC Atomweight champion, the strawweight contender. Remember, she was on that winning streak. She met Joanna Jacek back in October of last year in Florida, and now she returns to Florida to try to right that wrong against Carla Esparza, former champion in the strawweight division. In fact, the inaugural champion. Several years ago, she beat Rose Namajunas, and so this is an important fight because Carla Esparza has won her last two in a row, and she's always a tough out. Michelle Waterson, though, she is ready to get back into that title chase. We spoke about that and a whole lot more. Enjoy. What has this been like? You know, you've been in this game for quite some time. Has this been the most unique training camp of your career?
Yeah, it's pretty unique. I'd have to say we're kind of blessed in the sense that when we bought this new house, our first want was a home gym. And it was because, our daughter is at home in the evenings and we have to take her to gymnastics and we want to spend dinner with her and do homework with her. So having a home gym was important for us because we wanted to be able to train at home in the evenings. And it's definitely come in handy, with all the restrictions. We've been doing the majority of our training here at home and having the coaches come down individually and work with us. But outside of that, I think it's, I keep telling people all week is that it's the life of a fighter to have to deal with the unknown and different circumstances and things that happen outside of your control and if it's not something like this, then it's an injury or it's your opponent pulling out or it's something happening to you in your personal life you getting sick. There's always going to be something that you have to deal with as a fighter and overcome. And so this is just another one of those things.
So has the entire quote unquote training camp been at your home gym or have you been able to go to the Jackson Wink gym or other gyms?
It's been, the entire camp has been here at my home gym. And then, with my strength and conditioning, I've just been going, live on my Instagram with my strength and conditioning coaches and just basically working out with them and all my fans. And then we went over to Coach Jackson's gym, or Coach Wink and Coach Jackson's gym, just to see the cage, to feel out the cage and stuff like that, just individually. But no training.
Wow. Just curious, what's more challenging, if you will, this circumstance where you can't necessarily go to the gym like you used to or homeschooling?
I think the learning curve for the homeschooling was quite challenging. And it's just because it's me having to wear a different hat and my daughter also having to see me in a different light. You know, it's not mommy or it's teacher at that point. And I'm just kind of gaining a newfound respect for teachers, especially for younger children that have small attention spans. But it's really been such an amazing blessing in disguise because we've been able to have, there's just been so many teaching points throughout all of this. You know, my daughter had to postpone her birthday because of all this. She was planning a huge sleepover and then we got all these gifts for her friends and that, as soon as the lockdown happened, we had to cancel her sleepover. She's missing her teacher, all her friends at school, but it's teaching her a lot about personal responsibility, and she's a lot more responsible with getting her work done. She knows that mommy and daddy have to go train, so in the morning when we wake up, you know, she gets her schoolwork together on her own. She pulls up the Skype interviews on her own to Skype with her teacher. And we check her work just like her teacher would check her work. And so I think it's definitely going to be beneficial for her in the future to be more responsible for herself.
Wow, well, she is a lot more responsible than my boys, I got to tell you. They don't do anything without me pulling it up. I guess she's been watching you do Skype interviews and whatnot for a long time, so perhaps she's used to it. She made a few cameos back in the day on my show, so maybe this has been preparing her for that. At any point, I know you were supposed to fight April 11th, and it's been a bit of a roller coaster. When's the fight going to happen, all that. At any point, did you say, this doesn't feel right, I don't feel comfortable in the midst of the pandemic, training, fighting? At any point, did you consider not fighting on this date?
You know, I think that all of this is so new to the entire world, and when situations like this happen, especially with something that we have no idea how it's going, and that the landscape of it changes every day, I don't think it's a decision that you can make. It's kind of like a decision you have to make day by day, you know. And talking to Dana and him having talked to all of us personally and reassuring us that, you know, it's going to be the safe, he's going to do it the safest way possible, it really gives me reassurance that we're going to be safe. And I guess the truth is, I feel like if there is a group of people to go out on a limb and continue to push through an epidemic like this, it is young, healthy fighters. You know, we as fighters, you know, we put our bodies through so much, and we're used to combating, you know, illnesses and kind of swimming against the stream to come out stronger. So I figure, like, let us go out there and kind of be a symbol of hope.
So he personally called you, Dana White personally called you to answer questions and to reassure you?
Yeah, you know, I think he's made his line available for all of us personally, you know, to reassure us that this wouldn't happen if he couldn't be done safely.
Right. Have you seen, I know you're not in Jacksonville yet, but have you seen any of the videos? Tony Ferguson posted something yesterday of him getting the COVID-19 test, the swab up the nose. Have you had one yet? And if not, are you dreading this process? Because it looks horrible.
You know, actually, pretty excited that we had the ability to get this test done, you know, just kind of for peace of mind. Josh has been trying to show me because he's freaking out about it. But I just tell, don't show me. Like, I don't want to know. I'm probably just going to close my eyes and say, go do it, you know. And I think that's the way I'm going to go about it. I don't want to know. I don't want to see. I don't want to know how long the thing is. Josh was trying to show me yesterday. But yeah, I...
The best is when the nurse is saying, it's just going to tickle your brain for a little bit, you know? It's just going to go up there and tickle your brain. Like, what? That sounds like the worst experience of all time. Do you have someone at the door? Do you have to go answer your door?
No, my daughter just started her Zoom meeting with her teacher.
Okay, yes. See, we're all doing it. Okay, so you'll be traveling later on today, and then you get there and you have to go through the whole process. And it's going to obviously be a unique one because usually you arrive on Tuesday, not Wednesday, right? Does this affect the weight cut process at all for you?
Usually we arrive Monday. We try to arrive as early as we can so that we can settle in, you know, work out there and adjust to all of that. So yeah, that's different for sure. But again, like I said, I think, you know, the majority of any fighter will tell you that a fight is, you know, 80% mental. And this is just another one of those mental climbs that you have to be able to overcome.
I would imagine, and I've heard this from some other fighters, the fact that there's no live sports and there's all this attention on this card, this is what fighters dream of, right? That the world is watching you, all eyes on you. You're going to be fighting on ESPN. And, you know, quite frankly, being on the prelims, way more people are going to be seeing that than the pay-per-view. That's just usually how it goes. So I would imagine that kind of gets you up a little more, right?
Yeah, you're just talking about it, giving the little butterfly that crack my neck.
Yeah.
It's exciting, you know. I feel like we're in a moment in time that is going to go down in history, and I'm just really, again, blessed to be a part of it.
Last time we saw you, of course, was October. You were on that winning streak, disappointing loss. You were emotional afterwards. And one of the things you said was you were a little impatient. You had 25 minutes and maybe you were trying to do too much too soon. What's the biggest lesson that you learned from that fight against Joanna back in October?
You know, I think the biggest lesson, looking back on it now and getting through a new camp, would be that I have to trust myself. I have to trust my skills and I trust my abilities and go out there and just settle into to who I am as a fighter. There, I don't need to force anything. I don't need to prove to anybody, you know, that I belong or that I am good enough. I need to trust my skills and abilities to know that this is where I belong, and let my skills do the talking. Go out there and just breathe and be in the moment. And every single time I do that, I come up the other end proud.
A lot of talk going into that fight was surrounding the fact that the winner might get a title shot. Did you put maybe too much pressure on yourself going into it in hindsight?
I think, I think every fight plays out, you know, in ways that you don't expect. And yeah, I do think that there was, I wouldn't say that, I think the pressure, what ended up happening is I was planning ahead. You know, and by planning ahead, you take yourself out of the zone, and you're not able to be in the moment. And I think that's probably what I did. You know, I was super prepared. I was super ready to fight for the belt, and I knew that I belonged. I knew I could beat Joanna, and it didn't happen that night.
You're not the first fighter to say that. I'm wondering if afterwards you spoke to some of your teammates. Holly, John, of course, they've fought and won belts, about how you don't plan ahead, how you just take it one fight at a time and you don't look at the next fight before winning that number one contender fight. Did you ever have conversations with them perhaps afterwards about, you know, because let's be honest, you win this fight against Carlos Esparza, you're almost right back in that same spot, maybe one more fight away. How do you avoid this? Did you talk to them? Did they give you any sort of advice about not doing what you just said you did?
No, I think that When you come home after a loss, I don't think the thing that teammates do is try to give you advice. Hmm. You know, the thing that teammates do is be there for you because they know how it feels to lose. You know, like you put everything into that one moment, and so they understand that aspect of it. But really, when I talk to my teammates and my coaches, they say all the elements were there. You know, just, you know, certain things fell through, and you know, we were a little too early or a little too late in certain positions in the fight. And basically, what they say is that time has come and gone, and you have to move forward. You can't hold on to it.
How long did you harp on that one? Because you were so close to the title fight, how did that one impact you?
I was sad about it for a little bit, and I was. Josh actually made me watch the fight back, and I think by watching the fight back, there was a lot of good that I did in that fight, and I think you can be your worst critic in cases like that when you're so close. But after watching the fight, I really came back out of it with a lot of confidence, knowing that I do belong, you know, in the top of the division, and that I am that close to fighting for the title. And so I harped on it a little bit, but I think after watching the fight back, it actually gave me confidence moving forward.
Did you watch it just once, or have you watched it again recently?
We've watched it a couple times.
Okay. And any, like, is it a different perspective watching it now as opposed to fresh after the fight, or same type of takeaways?
Yeah, I think after the fight, it's like, I could have done this, I could have done that, you know? And then, you know, even further away from the fight, you kind of just, you're able to really take a step back and really just analyze it as a fighter. You know, so many things happen inside the cage that are so fast that it's just one of those things. Coach Wink used to always say, "You can always shoulda, woulda, coulda the situation." And you know, when you lose, when you win, you're excited. There's a lot of things in a fight that you did wrong, but you don't pay attention to. And when you lose, you always harp on the things that you do wrong. But you don't see the things that you did amazing at, you know, that you, with a win or a loss, in my opinion, at this stage in my career, a win or a loss doesn't matter because I have grown as a fighter. And it's still, stepping into the octagon is still one step closer to my ultimate goal. And that's how I pick the fight.
And that is, of course, to be a champion and the first mom champion in UFC history. I'm sure you watched the title fight between Zhang and Joanna. I'm just curious. It was an incredible fight. Who do you think won? Because there is some debate about that still. Did you think Zhang did enough to win that fight?
You know, everybody asks me, and I do think that Joanna actually skimmed the – I thought Joanna won by not by a landslide, but by enough to win. But I understand why Weili would have won because of the damage that Joanna took. Just looked so bad. And I feel like the damage that Joanna took is basically an accumulation of all of her fights since she's begun. She's known to get those hematomas, and you know, it's just over time, you know, your body will react to it in that way. Unfortunately, it all added up in that last round, and it looked really bad. But like I tell everybody else, I don't think anybody leaves that fight a loser. In my opinion, both ladies are champions, and I tuned in as a student trying to scout these ladies, and I left the fight as a huge fan and admirer of both ladies. They brought it the entire 25 round, the entire 25 minutes, and anytime one lady would ramp it up, the other girl would ramp it up, and it was just it led my heart to be really full and proud to be a strawweight in the UFC.
I'm sure afterwards you were like, oh man, I want some of that, right? Like, I want to be a part of something like that too.
Oh yeah, it was amazing, and it's just, yeah, like you said, extra boost of motivation for sure.
Mainstay at your fight, mainstays I should say, your mom and your daughter, I understand they will not be at this fight, right?
Yeah, they're staying home.
First time they missed one of your fights?
Yeah.
So your mom has been to every one of your professional fights?
She's been to majority of them.
Okay, and your daughter as well, since she's been born?
My daughter has been to every single one of my fights.
Wow. So what's that like for you, knowing they won't be there?
They're always with me. Hmm. You know, they're always with me in my heart, and they know. Like I said, like, you know, training camp has been here at home, so yeah. Ray has been watching. My mom's been watching, you know, and that's where all the work has been putting in. So, you know, I leave with that confidence, and I, you know, I'm going to go take care of business and come home and spend time with the family.
By the way, this might be a dumb question, but who's going to do your hair on fight night?
I have no idea. I didn't even think that, honestly.
So it's actually a good question.
It is a good question, and I'm sure they'll have somebody for us to do
it. Josh can't do it? Can't bring it for you?
Usually it's my sister that does it, and she's right. Planning on actually coming out. You'll know if I did it. Yeah, Josh said you'll know if he did it.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I'll pull it back if I need to.
Okay, fair enough. Carla is a grinder, right? She's looked good as of late. She's won two in a row, but she hasn't finished an opponent since her debut against Rose Namajunas. Mentally, are you sort of preparing for 15 minutes here?
Absolutely. You know, you always prepare for a hard 15, especially against a grinder like Carla Esparza, whose bread and butter is to grind it out, you know. But I think I fare well against grinders, and I look at her, you know, all the things that she's good at, and I think that I excel at all the things that she's good at as well. So I, you know, people are like, are you worried if she takes you down, this and that? And I have to remind people that I'm pretty good on my back. I've the majority of my wins in my fight career are from submissions off my back. So people just don't see that because I don't end up on my back. Cause in my fights, I'm usually the one to end up taking people down and ending up on top. So regardless of where the fight goes, I'm excited. You know, it gets my heart racing. I'm excited to keep it standing. I'm excited to show people my boxing. You know, being here at home for this long extended camp, Josh fought for the Air Force. Josh is an amazing boxing coach. We've been working on our boxing pretty diligently. And through working my boxing, it's actually helped me with my power in my kicks. It's helped me with my power in my stance. And I'm really excited to go out there and show all of that My footwork has improved. My wrestling has improved. Coach Izzy came down from Chicago to work with me exclusively for this fight camp. So we have all our bases covered.
And for those that may not know, I don't know if we mentioned at the top, Josh is your husband. You've talked about him a lot, but I just want to mention that for someone who may be watching an interview with you. Obviously a very important part of your life and your training camps as well. Just curious, you and Carla, obviously you've been around the same orbit for a while, Invicta, same weight class, UFC, it's a small community. Did you have any run-ins with her in the past? Like, what's your relationship like with her?
You know, we're cordial. She's a really nice girl, you know. I respect her for all that she's done in the sport. Like you said, we've both been in for some time now. And we've been wanting this matchup for some time. But, you know, if I was matched up, she wasn't. And if she was matched up, I was. And we just were never able to cross paths. And so, you know, what better time to do it than now?
Yeah. And finally, obviously, there will be no fans there. It'll be empty arena. And I've said this to many people who've asked me about this. Obviously, I'm not the one fighting in front of no fans, but MMA fighters are sort of used to this thing with The Ultimate Fighter and, you know, intimate crowds and whatnot. You start your career in front of a couple hundred people. If that, for you now, since you have been fighting in front of big crowds for a while, are you the kind of person who feeds off of that? Are you worried about how it might feel in there, maybe in the early portion of the fight because it will be so quiet?
You know, I am actually not worried at all. I feel like regardless of if there are a million people watching or if it's in the back alley, you know, somewhere. Once the cage closes, it's just you and your opponent. And that will never change.
It's going to be fun. I appreciate you doing this. Like
will
I said,
you be out there?
Unfortunately, I will not be there. I will be here in my home watching and talking a lot about it, but not a lot of media going to this one. Hopefully, as time passes, that will change. But I'm looking forward to it. It's a great card, and the prelims especially, which begin at 6 on ESPN, like I said, I mean, those could be a main card for any big show. So I'm looking forward to it very much, and I wish you the best. And by the way, the hat and the sweatshirt, phenomenal. Where can we get this?
Thank you. If you go to my Instagram, Karate Hottie MMA, we'll have a link available shortly.
I love the logo. Is that's from like the famous Invicta photo? Is that an Esther Lynn photo? Or
actually, is that just this photo was taken by my friends over at Onnit, and then they allowed us to digitalize it and make it kind of this cool.
It's tremendous.
Shadowed. Yeah.
It's better than the MJ logo, the Jumpman.
The MJ, yeah. See?
Look at this.
We're getting it done.
Tremendous. Well done. I love it. Safe travels to Jacksonville. Thank you so much for doing this. And, of course, good luck on Saturday night.
All right, Ariel. It's good to see you.
Great stuff, as always, from Michelle Watterson. Appreciate her squeezing us in before she flies out to Jacksonville. Looking forward to that fight. One of the many great fights on this preliminary card. It starts off with Ryan Spann against Sam Alvey, Bryce Mitchell against Charles Rosa. Love that fight. Bryce Mitchell is so much fun. The guy eats squirrel soup. I mean, really, it's unbelievable. He also hits twisters, hit the second twister in UFC history in his last fight. Charles Rosa, always tough as well. Vicente Luque had his 6-fight winning streak snap recently, and he's coming back against Nico Price, who's also kind of a crazy guy and a lot of fun to watch. Uriah Hall against Jacare Souza. What has happened to Jacare Souza? Once a title contender, now trying to turn his career around in the latter stages of his career. And Uriah Hall with a new team now, Fortis MMA in Dallas, Texas. Then it will be Carlos Barza against Michelle Watterson. Alexi Olenek versus Fabricio Werdum. No one's talking about this. This might be one of the best heavyweight grappling matches of all time. Olenek with the Olenek choke and Werdum coming back after a 2-year hiatus after the USADA suspension. I mean, that is intriguing stuff. I love that. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he looks after the 2-year hiatus. I spoke to Rafael Cordero, his head coach, on Monday. He predicted a knockout. I don't want to see a knockout. I want to see a submission. I want to see this fight on the ground exclusively. Donald Cerrone against Anthony Pettis. That headlines the prelims. Big fight for both of them, trying to turn their careers around as well. Cerrone coming off the loss to McGregor. Pettis coming off the loss to Diego Fajeda. I think there's a lot more pressure on Pettis's shoulders to try to turn things around. I'm curious to see how he looks in this fight. Then it's Greg Hardy versus Jorgen De Castro, Jeremy Stevens, Calvin Kattar, Francis Ngannou against Jairzinho Rozenstruik, and then Cejudo, Cruz, Gaethje, Ferguson. Speaking of Stevens, last time we saw him, he was rematching Yair Rodriguez. Remember that whole controversy in Mexico? Eye poke. They run it back a month later in Boston. He loses a close fight, a fun fight to Yair Rodriguez. He hasn't talked much since then, and certainly not before this fight. He's kept it relatively on the low, as the kids say, but we caught up with him today to talk about the fight against Cater, where he's at in his career, and what's at stake on Saturday night. Enjoy. What a setting you have here. Where are you exactly right now?
I'm in the backyard, Airbnb, and then it's in the back, relaxing. It's beautiful down here.
So you're not, I love it. You're not staying at the host hotel?
No, I don't. I really don't like staying in the hotels these days, to be honest. I like to control my own environment, have my nutritionist, and kind of have like my at home vibe. You know, it's just us out here. I like getting out and just getting away from all the madness.
I would imagine your teammate Dominic Cruz is fighting on this card. You've been training with him for this fight. He's been training for his fight against Cejudo. Is he staying with you as well?
No, he's actually flying in today. He's coming out here, so he's got his own Airbnb. He does his thing. He's got like a ton of guys with him, and we couldn't really find a house big enough to have everybody here. You know, we'd have to rent out a mansion, and that's a little bit further away from Jacksonville than we like. So we're within range, and we got everything dialed in.
You have been quiet leading up to this fight, and of course, the fight was originally scheduled for March 7th, and then April 18th, and now May 9th. But you know, social media quiet. You haven't tweeted since December of last year. Haven't seen you do a lot of media. Any particular reason for that?
I deleted my Twitter. I don't really get into it. I know it's kind of like a downfall. You know, I need to connect with the fans a little bit more, but, I really don't utilize Twitter. And, during this time, I just stay quiet. You know, I just want to, work, you know, and at this time, you know, in this COVID, all I've been doing is just busting my ass, working hard, and taking care of my family. You know, they're around a lot more. I don't want to be on social media. I want to be putting my influence in the things and goals that we are connected as a family and working on that. So things have been going great for us at the Stevens Casa.
Did you have any reservations considering we're in the midst of a pandemic, health-wise, you know, training-wise, the situation? Do you have any reservations about fighting on this card?
Yeah, I don't want to be unempathetic, you know, towards the people that are going through the fight against the virus and stuff like that. But to be honest, I really don't believe in it. You know, I know what the immune system is about and how viruses are spread, and that's through food. And I know how to keep my immune system boosted. And I believe in natural foods and holistic care. And you know, if you need to take a vaccine, a virus, then you know it was man-made. You know, and I haven't been around anything. Or anything like that. And I stay pretty healthy, and I enjoy taking care of my immune system and being healthy in these times. And that's what I've done for my kids. You know, I've, in these times, I'm normally away from people anyway. This is really what I do. I train, and you know, I'm with my family. I'm not out and about, and, I enjoy the process. You know, it's, you know, I don't have to make an excuse to not go visit people or see people. So, I just stick my head to the grind.
Obviously, you train at Alliance in Chula Vista, California. Was it tough to get training partners for this fight?
No, I had the same training partners as always. You know. Then it was even a little bit more of a pleasure when Dominic got added to the card, and you know, we were just training normal as usual, man. It's nothing's really affected the way that I've trained or did I train solo. Of course, like I train solo and do my own thing at times, but I've had great partners. You know, of course, Miles Jury, who's you know, he's a taller, he's a bigger version of Cater, who was a really good training partner. He's been my lifelong training partner. Cruz, I've had the same crew. You know, we just been at it, and it's keeping it low key OG.
So this fight, as I said, was originally scheduled for March 7th, but I believe you suffered a minor injury that had to delay the fight. Could you tell us what happened?
I wasn't healthy at the time. You know, during my last fight, you know, I had suffered like a little leg injury, a knee from a side kicks, and it wasn't the right time to come back. You know, it's been a while since I've kind of had to like pull off the reins and take a little setback, and I just we really liked that fight, and you know, I believe Cater and their crew did too. They knew what type of fight this was going to be, And we just asked that we just push it back. And UFC agreed that this is a great fight and the fans would really love to see it. And here we go on down the road.
And then when it was scheduled for the 18th and then it gets, you know, pulled and then now back on the 9th, as a fighter, you're sort of built to peak at a certain time, right? And so you're peaking for that date and then you have to take your foot off the gas and then go back at it a couple weeks later. Was that tricky at all for you?
No, not at all. You know, like the best way I would put it is if someone came to rob your house right now, what would you do? Would you stop and be like, oh, I need to train or I need to stretch out? No, you just get in that mindset and defend what you need to do. So, man, I was born for this, bro. I mean, you know, I'm coming up on my 34th birthday on the 26th. It'd be my 13 years in UFC. You know, if Cater walked in right now, I'd whoop his ass. So it's not like, I don't need to peak. I'm ready at all times, you know, and, nothing's different. It's just another fight, another challenge for me to be successful and some adversity for me to go through and come out on top like I always do.
It's funny you mentioned your birthday coming up, turning 34, as you said, on the 26th. I believe you made your UFC debut on your 21st birthday. So what a ride it has been for you. If you could give that kid 13 years ago any kind of advice about what was to come, what would you tell him?
Invest your money. Stay smart. Pay your taxes. You know, there was this time where I was just young and dumb and just didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't think that I'd be in the UFC for that long. But as I kind of grew up, you know, I'm like the baby that UFC had a baby, and that was me. You know, they see me really grow up inside the octagon, and the challenges and adversity that I went through, it's really kind of made me into who I am now. And I would tell a lot of things to that guy. But there's a lot of things that I wouldn't change, and that's like a savage mindset. You know, it was just raw. You know, I always had that. It was just raw talent. You know, guys like Rafael Dos Anjos and a lot of these people, they were black belts, and I was just a hard-nosed kid with heart and balls and just never gave up. That was the attitude. And those raw materials, you're born with that, you know, or you can kind of learn a few things down the road and through the process, but some raw things that I stay true to my authentic self that I always keep. And I know that, you know, but there would be a lot of things that I would tell that young man for sure.
Any regrets?
Hell no.
Can't live that way, right?
Nah, not at all. It's a learning process. You know, it's no regrets. You fall off the bike and you go, hey, well, don't do that no more. You know, you fall down again, don't do that. And eventually you learn, you know, and as you get older, you look back, you know, to the times of your childhood and you kind of reflect on them things and you come kind of wholesome to them things and you face those things. And then you just really find that true happiness, you know, deep within, and you move on, you grow. And, you know, the things that I think that I could have done wrong, I instill that into my kids. You know, I talk to them like a 33, 34 year old adult. Now, I mean, my kids know everything. I'm honest. I'm open with them. I have a deep connection with them more than that I had, you know, with my parents and stuff and things growing up that I've went through, I've instilled in them, you know, and they're that much emotional and intelligent with those things. And like I said, the connection's way better. So by the time that I leave here, they're going to have everything that I've ever been through at this age already in them at the age, you know, my daughter's going to turn 11 tomorrow and my youngest is 8. So they already know a lot and they're tremendously smart and beautiful and just they have the world at their hands.
I remember when we spoke last year, you were very open about, you know, some of the things you were going through with your career and back home. A year or so later, how are things now? Do you feel like you're in a better spot? And if so, what changed?
Way different. You know, it was just a shift in the mindset, you know, a shift of facing those things, digging them up. It's like gold, right? We're shaking all this crap off and then I see the gold. And, you know, and like, now what do I do? You know, I just really looked at my life like I was a eagle above a chessboard and could really see the problems, can like maneuver around. What ways do I need to be to make the things happen? So what do I get? What do I want? You know, I had to ask myself, what do I really want out of this? You know, I wanted better connections with my wife, my kids, my other people. You know, I was really sheltered off. You know, I didn't really fuck with too many people, you know, and now I feel a lot more open, loving. I come from a place of love and gratitude and just happiness, you know, so that's big changes. And, you know, I still go through my things these days. You know, everybody has their breakdowns, but I have a lot of tools now that I use, and it breaks me through. So I feel leaps and bounds compared to where I was back in the day. So it's a tremendous thing to have.
I saw yesterday, courtesy of your friend and training partner, Miles Jury, you guys went through the whole process of getting the COVID test and the antibody test. Could I ask, I'm fascinated by this, the swab up the nose, what did that feel like?
It's weird, a little eerie feeling, you know, it just, they go in there real deep and it's like tickle on your brain and then they swab it and you're like, And then when it gets done, you feel like you got punched in the nose and that like there's like a, it feels like there's like a blood drip, but nothing ever came out. It was a cool, unique experience.
Did you get the results back yet?
Yep, I'm COVID negative, so we're ready to rock and roll.
That's awesome. Is that a relief, or did you have any concerns? Was that, you know, when you got the call, were you like, no?
Nah, I knew I was clean, and like I said, man, I have my own perspective on it, and I'm just glad that, you know, we got the test, and I actually got results that were negative. You know, that would definitely suck. I mean, you think about that, that puts not only UFC in jeopardy and people's lives, but that would put a lot of sports in jeopardy if this thing was to pop up, someone showed up positive. I think that shuts down even sports and the world even a little bit more. That wouldn't be cool. So everything's great. I haven't heard any negative news, and everything's positive moving forward. And, you know, thank God for Dana White, bro, being a persistent, just awesome promoter that he is, and the type of guys that he is. You know, we get to show the American people, you know, we get to face adversity and go through these hardships and take the risks, you know. The scared guy, the stay-at-home guy, he ain't going to be able to feed his family, and he's going to die a scared man. You know, the guy, the people's out there working hard, taking the risk, and showing the people, like, hey, we can do this. I feel like it's going to bring a lot of strength to the American people, and I can't wait to go out there and perform and bring people out of these hardships and give them raw entertainment.
Obviously, this is a bit of a different fight week, you know, not as many media obligations, going through those tests and whatnot. What have they told you? I heard that you guys have to report 90 minutes before the fight, and typically it's a couple hours at least, and you do USADA, your hand wrap, and then you just kind of warm up quickly. What have they told you about what the process will be like on fight night? Have they given you the details how it will be different than your usual fight night?
It's pretty much just like you said. We're going to people are going to be fighting, and it's like baseball. We're going to be on deck. And I like that. You know, when you fight main event, you know, you're not having to show up 3 hours before, you know, like when I fought the main events, you know, like I did it on my time. I showed up, like literally like took a piss and started stretching and getting warmed up and go bust ahead. You know, I don't like waiting in the back, you know, 3-4 hours, you know, and listening to all the bullshit, seeing people come back with black eyes and getting carried out on stretchers, you know, that's not a cool thing to be going through mentally. So it's just like, easy breezy. You get to come in, show up, do your thing, you know, and I like that type of vibe. You know, it's been great vibes out here in Jacksonville. Things are running smoothly, and I like the way things are showing up out here.
Speaking of main event, of course, last time we saw you, the two fights with Yair Rodriguez, the unfortunate ending in Mexico, and then the quick rematch in Boston. And obviously that one didn't go your way, although it was an incredibly entertaining fight. After that whole process, I mean, that was a crazy month and a half for you. How did you feel about how it all went down? You know, the emotions after that, because it became a little bitter between you two guys, and then it ends up with, you know, him winning in that rematch. What were the emotions that you felt afterwards?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, of course, sad, a little disappointment, a little bit of fucking like, damn, you know, wish we did have those five rounds, but I had a day to dwell on it, and that was it. I let it go, and I go, hey, well, what do I do from here? You know, I enjoyed some good food and some time, you know, being, with a fam. One second. And, just got back on the horse and started grinding again. You know, my leg was a little jacked up, but, I got back and did some pool workouts and got back on the horse. Say, hey, how do we get better? If you ever seen me fight, you ever seen me take a loss, you know, I come back and I perform. I've never lost that motivation. The moment I feel like I'm done, I don't have that motivation, is the day I quit. But, you know, I fell down on the bike, and I'll get back up. You know, I thought I performed great. And to be honest, man, I knew I broke Yair Rodriguez. You know, he can come off with the win if he want. You know, probably could have went my way, maybe not. But I broke that kid, dude. I knew when he was laying on his back, he gave up. He doesn't have the what it takes to go five rounds. You know, and I knew that obviously benefited me. But I had previously, before that eye scratch, I had suffered some eye injury. You know, but I knew that into that fight that I had broken him. you know, I could see it in his eye. He was done. You know, he's hanging on to my gloves and doing everything he can to just not get finished. You know, if we would have won another round, he would have been done. And, you know, to me mentally, as a man, I knew that I broke him and that he was done. You know, he had nothing left. So to me, I felt like I really won that fight. And I showed like adversity, my heart, I could come back. So really, it wasn't even a loss to me. It was just like, okay, how do I learn from this? What do I take out of it? I had my time to dwell on like the fact that I did lose and I only got one check going home to the fam. And I got back on the horse and grinding, you know, and here I am again, back against the wall, fighting another tough opponent, and everybody's, you know, counting me out, you know, and just I can't wait to go in there and just make it look easy. This is what I do. You know, everybody counts me out during these times and writes me off and, oh, this guy, oh, he's tough. It's going to be a tough fight. Well, let's see how tough he is, because when I go out there and make it look easy, you know, everybody's going to be talking about Jeremy Stephens again, you know, and fuck it. You know, if go out there and sleep his ass in the first round, I'm going to stay here and collect checks all day. I'll fight the next 2-3 events. So that's the type of guy I am, you know, and I only have like a few more years left in this sport, God willing, and I'm here to make money and provide for my family and go invest and take care of my life after fighting. So I prepared for a monster, kind of like Mike Tyson said. I created this monster. I dreamed of this guy beating me. You know, I've dreamed of him being like 10 foot tall and just sticking me and I can't hit him, you know. So I've trained through all this adversity. I've trained this monster in my mind. So don't be surprised when I go out there and make it look easy and bust his ass up.
Have you told the UFC this? Are you actually going to be sticking around on the 13th and 16th to see if they need anyone to step in?
You know, I'm worried about this fight, you know, for sure. But, you know, ultimate goal deep down in my awesome soul, go out there and sleep this guy, come out injury free. And the way that I want it, picture perfect night, I would definitely stick around, fight at 45, 55, and even 70. It just depends on the opportunity that popped up. You know, I come out clean, uninjured, you know, go and sleep this guy in the first, say, 5 seconds. You know, like, say, Masvidal, I go out there and just fucking flying knee this guy. You know, I definitely would stick around and be like, hey, let me know for sure, man. I love fighting for one. And number two, I love making money and providing for my family. So I would definitely do it.
I know you just said, you know, backs against the wall. And you seem supremely confident going into the fight, but do you feel like you are fighting for your UFC career here, considering how the last few fights went?
No, not at all. You know, but I'm fighting more for personal growth. You know, it's been over a year since I've won. You know, and to me, it's all about proving it to myself. There is no opponent. You know, this guy that I'm fighting, I've trained for 1,000 times. You know, it's more or less just going out proving it to myself that, hey, you are a winner. Hey, you are one of the baddest motherfuckers in the UFC. You fought in top competitions. You're a champion. You wake up every goddamn day. You know, the real people, the real fans that have been supporting me know who I am, you know, and it's just going out there proving it to myself that, hey, I can do this. I do belong here. You know, I am a finisher. You know, everything's that I am. You know, it's just going out there, being in that right mindset, because, you know, when I'm right, I put people in body bags. That's just it. You know, there's no way around it. People know how I fight, and it's just going out there proving it to myself that I'm one of the baddest featherweights and one of the baddest fighters of the world.
Finally, what has it been like training for this fight alongside Dominic as he tries to prove people wrong and make this comeback and fight for the belt against Henry? Like, did you feel a difference in terms of the motivation? Wow, all of a sudden you've got, you know, the king of the bantamweights, the greatest of all time, by your side. And I know he's been by your side throughout the large portion of your career, but he's also training to fight on the same night. What has that been like?
Oh, it's just been an extra fire, you know. This is history. You know, last time, you know, fighting in New York, I just kind of fell short fighting a tough guy in Frankie Edgar. But this time, I really want that win in history, you know. And the way that I see it, you know, I'm winning, he's winning, and we just wrote our name in history as winners, you know. And it's been awesome having him around. You know, fact is, a lot of people don't know Dominic's been training for quite some months now. He's been what they call, like, the doctor told him he could train. So he's been training, you know, and then like the fact that he just got a chance to peak, you know, he hasn't really had like this long training camp, but he's been in the gym enough. And now that he's peaked, you know, he doesn't have a long training camp to get injured. He looks great. He's throwing his kicks. I've been seeing him move, and it's like, it's awesome to have him around. Plus, like, when we're getting in shape, you know, when I'm the only guy and it's like going down in this COVID, you know, I look around, no one else is suffering. I'm doing these sprints. You know, it's good to have a buddy going through it with you, next to you, you know, like, fuck, I feel like shit. He feels like shit. And this is what winning feels like, you know, when you're pushing a fucking pace and you're going into those hard fights. So it's awesome. And you know, Dominic's mental is above and beyond, you know, so it's always good having him around and seeing him there and going through this process with him.
Jeremy, I always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Best of luck to you on Saturday. Really looking forward to this fight. It's Jeremy Stephens against Calvin Kattar, UFC 249 in Jacksonville on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Again, best of luck to you, my man. Looking forward to it, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Awesome. Thanks, Ariel. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Gotta love Jeremy Stephens' intensity. That guy is intense as heck. And I'm curious to see how he looks in this fight as well. Kattar's tough, and Stephens is winless in his last four. He needs this victory, needs to get back on track, but he's always one of those guys. I mean, there's several guys. Cerrone is one of those guys as well that you just know he's on the card. It will be fun. At some point, you have to win. You have to stay relevant. The last time he won was February of 2018. So more than 2 years ago that he tasted victory. He said a year, but it's actually been more than 2 years ago. Remember that somewhat controversial fight as well, but he was on a streak at that point, beat Gilbert Melendez, Duhu Choi in a phenomenal fight. And then, of course, Emmett, and now he is on this four-fight winless streak, the Aldo fight, Zabit, and then the two Yair fight. So a big fight for him on Saturday. That's one of the five fights on the ESPN Plus main card. All right, no more talking from me. Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment of the week. And, of course, it is presented to you by our good friends over at Modelo, setting the gold standard for authentic Mexican beer since 1925. Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
TST's minimalist tip of the week.
And I'm going to have you, Modelo, this Saturday, Ariel. I pledged at UFC 248 when my guy Izzy was fighting that for every pay-per-view then on, I would have a Modelo in hand, so I can't wait for this weekend. Going to watch the full undercard, which I've never done before. I can't wait.
Top to bottom. First fight till the end.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, like, we've been out of sports for so long. I've been dying to watch UFC, you know, and me, MMA fan for a year. I was watching that Brazil card without fans, and I've been craving watching some guys hit each other and ladies since then, and I can't wait.
It's so crazy because when I met you not that long ago, you didn't know what UFC stood for. And now here you are saying that you are craving to watch men and women hit each other. It's just an amazing transformation over the past year. But I'm happy to hear that you are on board and you also be a part of our 3-hour radio show on Saturday, right? The pre-fight show on ESPN Radio. Is that correct?
Yes. I will not be in the Bristol studios, unfortunately. I will be back in my minimalist paradise in Connecticut, which is just becoming a hotbed for ESPN Radio, ESPN audio producing. So who knew that my little shack in Bristol, Connecticut would become such a production center?
So you're back home. You left the parents.
Yes, I did. And they were driving me a little crazy. I kind of wanted to get back to being under my own house, doing my own thing all the time. You know, whenever I'm going back home, I always kind of feel weird because it's where I grew up. And yes, I'm very thankful for where I'm from and where I grew up and all the incredible memories I have there. But it's also like I feel like I've left that chapter of my life behind. And whenever I go back home, it just feels like I'm the kid who never left. And I just like kind of being in control of my own time, my own narrative all the time. That's why I like doing things on my own, solo, in other places.
Wow. See, if someone offered me a couple of weeks at home with my parents, my mom's cooking, doing laundry for me.
They think I'm weird, though, because I don't want to eat what they want to eat, what and yada, yada. Like, I want to do things that they don't. No, they're trying, like, come on, like, let's watch a movie. I'll be like, no, I don't want to watch a movie yet. Like,
yeah, why just, not?
Like, go why throw are you the football or something. I'm not antisocial. It's just I like to be doing things. I like to be doing things, and it's like, I don't want to watch a movie. I don't want to, watch this home movie of us, me and my brother when I was 5 years old, you know. I just like to do my own things on my own time. I don't like adhering to other people's schedules, which is why you annoy me sometimes.
In other words, your mom is not a good cook. Is that what you're saying?
No, she is a fine cook, and my dad loves her cooking, but I'm like kind of a food snob. I really don't eat much. I don't know if I've ever told you this, my take. I don't eat food for taste. I just kind of eat food to survive. So I just kind of eat, kind of cook my own food until it's no longer raw, and then I just eat, and that's fine.
What?
Those are my standards. Yeah, I don't care what my food tastes like.
What are you talking about? So like you don't season your food or you don't like it to taste good. You just like eggs. You'll just cook them until they're no longer runny. And then,
pretty much. Cook my eggs until they're no longer runny. Like I don't use any flavorings or sauces or of any kind. Like I eat salad without dressing. Sometimes I make a request for like, hey, can I have like some salsa? Can I use salsa as salad dressing? So I do that from time to time. Or hummus.
It's amazing. Well, you know, that's not weird. Hummus and salsa is not weird, but no dressing is a little bit strange. I guess it depends on what you have in the salad. By the way, don't think I didn't catch that little backhanded shot. Maybe it was a front-handed shot, if I'm being honest. But what are you talking about? I annoy you because I try to like book shows and make schedules. But how about this? How about this? How about you book the show? How about you make the schedule, huh? How about you get the guests and line these people up, all right? I don't know.
Hey, I'll do it.
Hey, name me one host at ESPN who does what I do, okay? If we're going to call the shots around here, name me one host who books this many guests, okay? Name one. Go. Name them. I want to hear it. Name one. One. Give me a name.
I have a name I want to say, but I'm not going to.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
We'll leave it at that. Let's get to this week's tip. So, Ariel, as a minimalist, you know, a lot of people think that it's about taking it to the extreme, about living like a monk, not having things, getting rid of everything, yada, yada. No, what I've been trying to say since the beginning is that it is about finding like the right formula for you. What works for me might not work for you. So some people think, oh, I got to get rid of everything and have like 30 possessions to my name, or I need to have, you know, only 5 phone apps on my phone. And now I've run into that problem with the phone apps thing, and I kind of learned a lesson this past weekend. So I have 6 apps on my phone, and I try to be very like sticking to that. And so if people wanted like me to download an app, I'll usually say no because I don't like the clutter of it. But this weekend, I went hiking to Bear Mountain, which it's the highest peak in Connecticut, and it is in both Massachusetts and Connecticut. So I parked my car in the Massachusetts side of it, went up to the peak in Connecticut, and was supposed to go back down the trail in Massachusetts. But I never look at a map when I go exploring. I like to let my curiosities take me so that I can go explore and be surprised. I don't like to know what I'm getting myself into. So I didn't do any mapping out of any kind. I didn't download the All Trails app like you're supposed to when you go on a big hike. So basically, after reaching the summit, I kind of wandered off the beaten path for 3-4 hours. By the time it's like 6 o'clock at night, and now I'm thinking, all right, I think I'm kind of lost. What's going to happen here? So eventually, I run into some people on the mountain, and I eventually find my way back to Connecticut, and I get myself to a town. I finally get myself out of the mountains, and I get myself to a town, and I'm on my way walking into town because now I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll, you know, find a taxi ride back to my car in Massachusetts. Maybe I'll just find someone who'll be able to help me. And it just so happens that as I'm walking back into town, this red pickup truck comes next to me, and it happened to be this guy driving who I talked to up in the mountains. And he's like, hey, are you lost? And I'm like, yes. He's like, do you need a ride? I was like, yes. So I get into the back of this man's pickup truck, ride in the back of the pickup truck for like 10 miles on a gravelly road back to my car in Massachusetts, and the day was saved. But for all of this story, what this means is, oh, wait, hold on. I did leave out this part of the story. When I got back to my car, I drove for about 2 minutes along the road, and then I get pulled over by a police car. And I'm like, wait, am I speeding? Like, am I speeding on this 10-mile-an-hour road? And he comes over to me, and he's like, what's your name? I'm like, TSD, of course. And he's like, okay, good. We had gotten a report about you. So like a missing persons report was out for me because like no one had heard from me for a while. So I'm like, yeah, it's me. I'm good. And then we were all right. And but anyway, so this is all to say, don't take minimalism to the extreme. And so when it comes to your life being on the line, don't be so ignorant like me and think, okay, you know, I'm going to try and tough it out without getting that app that would have significantly helped my life. So I learned a valuable lesson about minimalism here.
This is a crazy story. This just happened?
Yeah, Saturday.
What? That is the most absurd story I've ever heard. First of all, in the midst of all this, why didn't you just download the app? Did you not have any reception?
No, you're in the mountains. Yeah, it was a crazy weekend. Friday, my dad said he's moving to Arizona. Wait, Saturday, this happened. Then Sunday, I decided that I'm moving to a cabin on the lake. Crazy weekend.
Wait, your dad is moving to Arizona?
Yeah.
With your mom?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I feel like we're opening up a can of worms here. And where is this cabin? Why you're moving to a cabin?
I've always wanted to live on a lake. So it might be happening. It's not set in stone yet. I'm in the negotiation stages, but we'll see what happens.
Negotiation stages with who?
With the person who owns the cabin.
Okay. If there's no reception at the top of the mountain and you download the app, how does the app work?
I didn't get the app.
No.
I never got the app.
I would have done it. Like, if there's no reception, how do you actually use the
app? Yeah, well, like, you download the app beforehand and you download the trail map, which you don't need reception to access.
I thought it was like one of those GPS, I can say GSP. I'm happy that you have finally admitted that you are sometimes hard-headed. You are ignorant when it comes.
There was briefly a point where I wasn't sure if I was going to be back to watch UFC 249 this week. I was preparing for spending the night in the woods. Luckily, I did find my way back to civilization, but I was starting to conserve water, and I had this big box of cashews with me that I was starting to not eat because I'm like, I might need these. I might be here a while.
You thought you were going to be like, were you getting nervous?
Surprisingly, no. I've been in similar situations before, and I think I'm just so experienced now that I wasn't too freaked out.
Wow. And then you went in some random guy's car?
Yeah, back of the pickup truck, riding in the back, you know, the part that folds down, you know. We were socially distancing. He wasn't anywhere near.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, totally. This is just supremely bizarre, if you ask me. It's a bizarre behavior, you know. This is not... I mean, I know that you thrive off of this sort of thing, but I would be careful. I mean, someone could come and take you away. At any point in the whole experience, did you say, like, man, I'll never get to talk to Ariel again? Like, this is it? Like, this man has done so much for me in my career and my life, and this could be it? Like, I'll never get to say thank you or goodbye or anything like that. Did that cross your mind?
I can't say that it did.
Wait, UFC 249 crossed your mind, but not your actual colleague? It's bizarre.
No comment.
There is no UFC 249 without me. You realize that, right? Like, the joy that you derive from UFC 249 is directly related to the experience of working with me.
I suppose you're right. You know what? This sounds like a great time to hit the music, unless you have any more questions.
No, I think I'm good. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that and your short stories and your trip to...
I'll tell you about the other story, similar story, another time where I ended up in the car with a guy who had a rifle in the backseat. But that's
Okay. Well, we'll save that for a rainy day. The other story about that guy that you met at the bar, I saw this on your Instagram. You met some guy and you're in the parking lot. I mean, it's just what an enigma you are, Troy. But alas, we are out of time. Thank you for closing on that note. Hopefully you'll be able to keep everything intact for Saturday and not go off on some crazy run or hike or whatever the hell you... And this guy has the audacity to say to me, this is why I don't want to have children. You know, I wouldn't be crazy enough to have children. Here's my kids in the background. Yet he's going on trails for 4 hours in the middle of God knows where without an app, without a map or an app. Anyway, UFC 249 this weekend. Hope you're excited. We'll have a lot of coverage coming your way. Aaron the Bad Guy tonight on ESPN+. What else? We got my show, radio show on Saturday. We got the Aaron the Bad Guy pre-show, 5 o'clock. Radio show, 2 to 5. Bad Guy, 5 to 6. Fights beginning at 6. 6 to 10. 10 to 1. And then the post-fight stuff. And who knows what else will pop up. So we'll have a ton of coverage coming your way. Then Monday, back with DC and Helwanian. I know a lot of you have been asking me about, like, what's going on with DC and Helwanian and all this stuff in the regular show. Just cool it, all right? We got it all figured out. We got a lot going on. And stop being so demanding, okay? It's been a fun time, and we will continue to adapt and overcome. For now, though, we shall say goodbye. Thank you to TST. Thank you to Tony Ferguson, Michelle Watterson, Jeremy Stevens, and their respective camps for helping us today. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you continue to download, rate, and subscribe and review. And can we get some positive comments out there? I mean, enough of the negativity. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.